regulations. And please write Kids Cafe on the memo line of your check. The children's clothing swap is our September mission, and the swap date is Saturday, September 24th. Participants may fill several bags with donated clothing for their children. Clothing will be provided for infant, toddler, children, and youth, all ages through high school, per donations received. At departure, a donation of $5 or more is to benefit Lenore's Pantry and will be gratefully received. Saturday, September 18th, between 12 and 2, the Fellowship Hall will gratefully accept donations. And Monday, September 19th, through Wednesday, September 21st, from 1 to 4 and 7 to 9 in Fellowship Hall. Clothing items to donate include gently used clothes for infants, toddlers, children, and teens through high school. Nothing else will be accepted at this event. A participant in the swap is not required to donate clothing. Every donor, however, is welcome to participate. People helping people. Our event goals are twofold and practical. With rising prices of all goods and services, assist families with children's clothing needs and financially support Lenore's Pantry, assist families in experiencing food insecurity. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sandy. I think that's a great mission. Anybody that's had children knows that clothes don't last very long. They only last a couple of months and they're outgrowing them. So usually when you get children's clothes, they're usually in pretty decent condition because they haven't worn them much as far as shoes or clothes or anything like that. So I think it's a great mission, and it's a great mission to get some young families over into the church to provide for their needs, give them some good bargains for their children, and maybe we can have one or two of them show up at Sunday school someday in their new clothes. That would be great. All right, we have some announcements to make. I'm going to do those right now. Worship time through August is still going to be 9:30. Sandy McLeod is collecting soft baby dolls for nursing homes where she works with memory care patients. No bobbies or hard plastic dolls. They have to be soft so they don't get hurt. Dolls can be brought to the church at any time or dropped off at the church office. And that would be great. Is there any other announcements anybody has out there? Anybody? No? Okay. Seeing none, we will now offer up gifts to God in the name of the Lord to help do our work here on earth. Thank you. Lord, may these gifts that we present today in your honor, in your name, do the work here on earth for us to help others, help our neighbors, and provide others with happiness and their needs. We thank you for bringing us together and being able to share these gifts today. Amen. Is everyone enjoying the one-man show so far? That's what I feel like. No, not yet. I'm going to do some special music today.
Kumbaya, my Lord, Kumbaya. Kumbaya, my Lord, Kumbaya. Kumbaya, my Lord, Kumbaya. Oh Lord, Kumbaya. Someone's praying, Lord, Kumbaya. Someone's praying, Lord, Kumbaya. Someone's praying, Lord, Kumbaya. Oh, Lord, Kumbaya. Someone's crying, Lord, Kumbaya. Someone's crying, Lord, Kumbaya. Someone's crying, Lord, Kumbaya. Oh, Lord, Kumbaya. Someone's praying, Lord, Kumbaya. Someone's praying, Lord, Kumbaya. Someone's praying, Lord, Kumbaya. Oh, Lord, Kumbaya.
Good morning. This is our time to share our celebrations and our concerns for the church. I'd like to, as a celebration and a concern, thank Reverend Carol for asking me to be here at the pulpit and help her out. And I was more than happy to do that. And I appreciate you coming and listening to me. So thank you. Do we have any other celebrations? Anybody out there? Yes, Pam. Okay. Oh, yes. Okay. Thank you. Any other celebrations? Wow, excellent. Independent living, is that what you said? Okay, so Madison Lavoie, who used to come here, and Pete and Cindy's daughter, she's graduated from high school. And yeah, I know the school and sandwich you're talking about. Yeah, excellent. And she did really well down there. I think that was a good fit for her. And we'll congratulate her on that and her parents for getting her through that. Excellent. All right, she's a good kid. She'll do fine. All right, anybody else? Any celebrations or concerns? I have some concerns here that Kathy brought to me. At home is still Ed Dyer, so he is home. Bob Kay, which is Deb Trowbridge's husband, we're going to pray for, and Richard Lamoureux, we are still praying for, and we believe he is still at home. Ongoing medical issues is Jen, Leah, Marge, Michael, and at the nursing homes and assisted livings, Jackie Glass is in hospice care at the Maples. Carolyn Farrell, Nancy Kelly is at the branches. Let's also pray for a monthly mission, which this month, of course, is the Kids Summer Cafe and the clothing drive. And let's all pray for those who struggle with addictions, the people of Ukraine, our nation and its leaders, and our world and its leaders. We certainly need a lot of prayers for peace on earth. Let us pray. Lord, we come to this sanctuary together as a family and pray together as a family. We pray for all those who are less fortunate than us, those that are in need, those that need our prayers, those that may not see the Lord through their own eyes. We pray for everyone that needs help, everyone that needs shelter, anyone that needs a friend. Thank you, Lord, as you look down upon us. We are graced by your presence and warmth of our souls through you. And we pray for all the people that are on our list here today. If you have any other people you'd like to pray for, please do at this time. Lord, help our struggles be easier day by day. Help our prayers go a long way to help others. And help us always see that you are the Lord, you are the one we should look towards to bring us a better life on this earth and be better Christians. Amen. Our scripture reading, if you'd like to follow along, is on page 845 in the Bibles that are in the pews. It's Luke 11, 1 through 13. Listen to these words from the Holy Book. He was praying in a certain place, and when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation." And then he said, "Which of you has a friend will go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within, 'Do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though, I will get up and give you anything because he is a friend. Yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I ask, I tell you, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asked for a fish, would instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asked for an egg, would give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more would the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" May God help us understand the words of the scripture this morning. We will sing the first verse and the last verse of 437.
Is good for us all.
Excuse me one second. So I just got in 437 steps and lost about 20 calories. The first half of church, so that's a good thing. So I was trying to think of what I wanted to speak about, and I came up with a couple of different things, and I was thinking about rules, and I was thinking about the Ten Commandments. And then I was thinking, geez, when's the last time I looked at the Ten Commandments and really read them and found out what my score would be on the Ten Commandments? And, you know, you see these things on Facebook where, you know, oh, what's your score? You know, and it's like, you know, have you ever been arrested? Have you ever jumped out of a plane? Have you ever, you know, it's all these things. Have you ever been bitten by a snake? And then you add up your score. And I think it's just a way of them getting information from you, so that's why I don't participate in those. But I thought about that, and I thought about rules and the Ten Commandments. I said, geez, I hope I'm doing okay according to the commandments. And then my lesson wanted to be on rules, and then I read the scripture reading, and it's about prayer. And there's other lessons in there, but the main thing I got out of it was the prayer. And then Kathy posted the Our Father right on the front of the without me even knowing, and I was like, okay, I guess it is more about prayer. And then when I wrote the prayer of invocation, I even used lines out of the Lord's Prayer. So I thought to myself, maybe it's supposed to be about prayer. But I do want to talk about rules too, because we pray and we come to church to try to obey the rules of God. And I thought, so let's see if they're compatible, the Lord's Prayer and also the Ten Commandments. And the other thing is, the Lord's Prayer came from Jesus, and the Ten Commandments came from God. Do you know who the oldest computer geek in history is? Does anybody know? Moses. Moses got data onto tablets through the cloud. He was the first one. He was the first one. Ba-doom. So he was the first one to get those, and they were for his people at the time. But it was a set of rules to live by, and a set of rules that God wanted to live by. And I've got to admit that one of my biggest pet peeves, yes, Dave Valerio has pet peeves. One of my biggest pet peeves is people that don't pay attention to the rules. And it just bothers me because I try my hardest to obey the rules and help others obey rules. And it just irks me. It's just one of those things. You know, you pull up to Cumberland Farms and there's all that painted line that says parking, fire, no parking, fire lane. And there's somebody with their car idling because they're in there getting cigarettes and lottery tickets. And nobody can move because he's in a place that you're not supposed to park. That's what I mean about rules. And I just, my son came down to visit me a couple of years ago down the Cape, and we went to this, there's a gas station near me where there's a Honeydew Donuts. And inside, we were gonna go inside to get some coffees and some sandwiches and bring them back to the house. And I used to work as a, I don't know if you knew this, when I was about 24, 25, I pumped gas at a gas station. It was a Getty station, and you could still pump gas. It was a full serve, and we had to wash the windows and the whole bit. And I worked there a couple of years, and I actually became the manager. And when you become the manager, you have to go to these seminars, and they teach you about fire safety in a gas station. And believe it or not, the fumes when you pump gas, now the pumps are a little different, but back then, the fumes that came out were just as dangerous, if not more dangerous, than the gas itself. And you could see on a hot day when you're pumping gas, you know how when you look at the road on a hot summer day and you see this like wavy stuff coming off the road? That's what the fumes look like. And they told us it was so dangerous, that's why there's no smoking or anything around pumps, because you don't even see the fumes sometimes. So me and my son are going in to get sandwiches. This is only a few years ago. And there's this guy with his truck, and he's filling it up. I don't know, he was a landscaper or something, and he's filling it up, and he's yakking with this other guy that's right next to him. And this guy's smoking a cigarette like this, right next to the pump. I mean, like, from here to that candle, away from the pump. And so we're walking, and I said to my son, I said, you believe this guy? He's smoking a cigarette near a gas pump. And he goes, Dad, don't say anything. I says, dude, I have to say something. He goes, Dad, he goes, I don't have your back if you say something to him. And I remember turning to him and saying, that's okay, because God's got my back. I said, dude, that's not right. That is not right. So we're walking by the guy, and I'm just staring him down. He's looking at me, and he's like, and I said, you know, it's not really a good idea to smoke a cigarette right next to a gas pump. I says, there is no smoking near the pumps. He goes, oh, now go in. It's all right. It's all right. So my son started walking in, and I turned around and I looked at him. I said, no, it's not all right. I says, you need to put that cigarette out. I said, because just because you want to smoke and yak with your friend at the same time, I said, you're going to blow up the whole neighborhood and kill everybody. I said, because you want to smoke and talk at the same time? He goes, oh, just go in. It's all right. So I walked in. My son's in there. He said, Dad, why'd you have to? You know? So I went up to the guy at the behind the counter, and I said, you got a guy right out there, feet away from a gas pump, smoking a cigarette. And the guy goes, what do you want me to do? What should I do? That's the rules, right? And rules are funny, because when you say it's a rule, people understand. But there's all these sayings like, you know, oh, you got to play by the rules. Oh, I don't play by the rules. How many people have you heard say that? I don't play by the rules. All right, break the rules. I don't care, you know. Or, you know, rules to live by. Oh, I live my own way. I make my own rules, you know. So there's a lot of things about rules that people just don't like. Look at all the rules with the masks, right? The past 2 or 3 years here. Oh, my goodness. It almost started like another civil war in the United States. Who's wearing a mask? Who doesn't wear a mask? Why don't you wear a mask? And people really got upset over all the rules. And we're still fighting the rules. We still don't know what the rules are. And they change daily and weekly. So how are we supposed to know what to do or what to say? That really divided the country a lot. And the rules about, you know, it's not necessarily a rule that you have to get a vaccine, but the argument that brought up about, you know, it's my body kind of thing, and whether I want it or not, or are you going to get it for society so we don't spread the disease? It's very different like that nowadays. Everybody's looking to start something right away. Rules are funny. I work at a nursery school that Nancy Mitchell got me the job there many years ago. I want to say, Nancy, it's like I've been there at least 25 years, if not closer to 30, and I really appreciate that. But the kids know rules, and the thing is, when they're that little, when they're 3, 4, 5 years old, you just have to say, oh, that's a rule. You know how sometimes you got to hold my hand when you cross the street? Why do I got to hold your hand? That's a rule. And as soon as you say it's a rule, they do it. And they don't know what that means, but they know it's something serious. Like I bring little instruments to pass out, little cymbals and tambourines and maracas and stuff. And I said, okay, now you all know the rule about instruments, and they have this rule in the school that all the teachers use. You get what you get, and you don't get upset. That's the rule. And they told me that, and I was like, that's a great rule. And so I said, does everybody understand what that rule means? That means if I give you a maraca, you can't go, no, I wanted the cymbals, and you can't cry, and you can't be upset. In fact, I even like took it one step further, and I said, you get to play that instrument, and if it's an instrument you don't like, that you wanted something else, it's okay, because we're going to trade after, and we get to play somebody else's instrument, and then we'll trade again, and you get to play another instrument. So you'll get to play maybe the instrument that you want, but just not right away. You know, otherwise you're handing them out, and they're going like, no, I wanted that one. So you get what you get, and you don't get upset. But it's funny how you just say, that's the rule, and you just have to do it. You know, I wish adults would understand that. That's the rule. Okay, I'll put the cigarette out. Okay, thank you, sir. You know, nope. So one thing that we should have rules about, and we don't, Reverend Carol says there's no Zoom sound. She just texted me. I don't know if we can fix that or... Oh, she actually texted at 9:39. I'm sorry. Sorry I didn't see that. She's missed half my sermon. Okay. And sometimes, folks, at this point, you know, if something goes wrong or goes haywire with the Zoom calls, we just let it go because there's not much we can do to try to fix it, and we don't want to be running back and forth disturbing our worship service. So we apologize. I don't know if they can read lips or not, but... Yeah, we should have. Oh, she said fixed it. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. So anyways, I came up with, I started looking at the Ten Commandments because I wanted to talk about rules. And do you know there's alternate versions of the Ten Commandments? There's all kinds of alternate versions. For instance, this is one that is more like a Ten Commandments that came out of Native American heritage. Remain close to the Great Spirit. Number two, show great respect for fellow beings. Number three, give assistance and kindness wherever needed. Number four, be truthful and honest at all times. Number five, do what you know to be right. I thought I was doing the right thing about the guy with the cigarette, but I can't let that go, can I? I just can't let that go. Number six, look after the well-being of your mind and body. Very important. Treat the earth and all that dwell on it with respect. Number eight, take full responsibility for your actions. Number nine, dedicate a share of your efforts to the greater good. And number 10, work together for the benefit of all mankind. I like those. I mean, I love the ones that God gave us, but I like those too. And then there were other alternate versions. I came across this one. This is the Ten Commandments of Proper Cell Phone Etiquette. And I think we need some commandments for this. Number one, thou shalt not subject defenseless others to your cell phone conversations. How many times have you been somewhere and somebody's on the phone? Yeah, can you hear me? Yeah, yeah, what? Yeah. I once went to a restaurant and I got a phone call. I was eating a sandwich and I had some sandwich and some fries. I was eating my lunch. And it was one of those little small Greek restaurants where they're all relatives and they all work together and they're running around yelling. And I got a phone call. So I went outside to take the call and I came back inside and everything was gone off the counter. And I said to the lady, I go, where'd my food go? She goes, I thought you left. I said, I didn't even pay. You thought I left? She goes, well, I thought you left without paying. I said, no, I had a phone call. I didn't want to disturb everybody in here. She goes, I won't charge you for the fries. I was like, I didn't even eat my lunch yet. You're not charging me for the fries. I mean, I wasn't even halfway through the sandwich. She's not going to charge me for the fries. So proper phone etiquette. So thou shalt, number two, thou shalt not set ringtone to play La Cucaracha every time the phone rings. Or a fifth of Beethoven or the Bee Gees. They are annoying melodies and there's no reason to set your ringtone to them. Number three, thou shalt turn thy cell phone off during public performances. Now this one, it says here, they don't really need to say that. You should just know that. But how many times have we said that at weddings, at parties, at funerals, and said, please tell you, turn your cell phones off. And then all of a sudden you hear, ba-ba-dee-ba-ba, ba-ba-dee-ba-ba, ba-ba-dee. And someone has forgotten. Number four, thou shalt not wear more than two wireless devices on thy belt. Sure, I think they're talking about you. Yeah, you usually have that little earpiece there. Thou shalt not dial while driving. Well, that's a given. That's also a law. That's also a law. You're not supposed to be handheld devices. Yeah, it's a rule, yes. Thou shalt not wear thy earpiece when thou art not on the phone. And I know a lot of people like to have them just in case somebody calls. And if you're in business, I totally understand that. If you're expecting, if you do a lot of your stuff over the phone. And do you ever go into a store where there's a guy doing that and he's talking on the phone? And you're like getting something off the shelf, and he's like, I told you. And I'm like, you told me what? I said they were going to do that. And then you realize he's got a thing in his ear. You're like, oh, I'm not talking to you. Thou shalt not speak louder on thy cell phone than they would on a regular phone. That happens all the time. People think they have to speak louder for some reason. Thou shalt not grow too attached to thy cell phone. Thou shalt not attempt to impress with thy cell phone. I remember the first time I got a cell phone, it'd be like in the, I don't know, 90s? I don't know when they came out. But I got my first cell phone. And of course, nobody knows you have a cell phone. So the first thing you do is make all your contacts and send everybody a message. I got a new cell phone. And when you have a cell phone, you want to talk on it. Then you do this. Yeah, did you just call me? My phone rang. Was it you? No? Yeah, no, I'm on my cell phone. No, yeah, yeah. And then you call your next friend. Did you call me? You know, like you just want to be talking on your cell phone. And thou shalt not slam the cell phone down on a restaurant table just in case it rings. I have a rule with my kids. If we go out to dinner, the cell phones stay away the whole dinner. If I'm going to drop a good amount of money on buying you lobsters, then you're going to not talk on your cell phone for at least a half hour while we munch down on lobsters. And that's and my daughter's always telling my son-in-law, put the phone away, put the phone away. He's always on it. Of course, he's got the watch now, and he's got the ear thing, and he's got 8 million other contraptions on that he's getting his messages. So how does this all fit with rules of the Ten Commandments and the prayer that Jesus taught us? I thought they compare a bit. They're rules to live by, and we all want to do good, and we all want to obey those rules of the Ten Commandments. And of the other one, like I read, being fair to people, being good to people, all those things. But also, the prayer that Jesus taught us is just like some of the Ten Commandments, you know. The first couple of commandments talk about one God. You should only worship one God. No other gods before. No idols. And that kind of goes with our Father. We recognize our Father who art in heaven. We recognize him to be the holy being. Hallowed be thy name. Don't use the Lord's name in vain. His name is very holy. And when we say this prayer, it's a deep prayer that we are acknowledging God as our Father. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We want to follow the rules that they set in heaven. I don't want to get to heaven and St. Peter's looking at stuff and goes, oh, yeah, oh, wait a minute. All right, could you just go stand over there for a second? I don't want to break a rule that's not going to get me in heaven. Now, remember that time, that lady, oh, no, are you going to say that? Oh. Well, he knows everything. He's got all the notes on us. Art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. I was writing the reading today about somebody needing bread and banging on the door. And give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Treat thy neighbor like thyself. You want to treat people the way you want to be treated. It just goes with respect. And lead us not into temptation. Don't kill, honor thy parents. All the temptations that we have here on earth, all the bad things, lead us not into temptation. We're asking for salvation. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And we should realize that. So I think there is a parallel between the Lord's Prayer. I think Moses got the first tablet, and that was from God. And I think Jesus gave the prayer to his apostles, and that was words to live by. And that's rules to live by. And God bless each and every one of you. Amen. We're going to sing our final hymn. Oh, I just did have one more thing that was supposed to be in there. I didn't write anything down today, But one more rule was supposed to be in there. My father used to like to go on what he called adventures. My mother would say he got lost. So we'd always go for Sunday rides, and he'd be lost, or we'd be on an adventure. And he would sometimes go down, oh, let's go down this road. And my mother would go, you know this is a one way. My father would say, yeah, I'm only going one way. So let's all hope that we all go the right way. Final hymn is 438, Forth in Thy Name, O Lord. Go now, go forth in the name of the Lord. Spread love, spread peace and understanding as you walk out these doors. Amen.